Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Okay, boys, this gotta work.
Let's get back to work, guys.
I'm taking what they're giving, cause I'm working for a living.
You need a job so you can pay, get a job.
You don't gotta go to work. Working 9 to 5.
I suck at this job.
He works hard.
Welcome to the working week.
My fellow employees, it gives me great pleasure to say
you are a good worker and a good man.
So to wake up and Ellen's wrong, just get ready for work, 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 work.
Is this your handiwork or did you bring in an independent contractor to finish the job?
God, I can't wait to quit this job.
You know what? You all suck. I quit.
And now, getting you to work, it's Bob and Sherry.
Happy April Fool's Day.
Oh, happy April Fool's Day, everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what is... I hope you all had a good weekend, nice Easter weekend. I know I did. I was happy. I had at least one of my kids at home, and I was happy about that. And we all had chocolate bunnies. We didn't get to talk about this because Friday was a holiday, but, you know, they were having that auction of movie memorabilia, like the bullwhip from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, mm-hmm. and Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man suit, and the mm-hmm. door from Titanic where – Rose floated it to safety, but there wasn't room for Jack. And the debate over whether or not Jack could have been on that door, let me remind you, has been going on for so long that the Titanic director, James Cameron, said he did a thorough scientific test and analysis to prove that Jack could not have gotten on that door with Rose, so we can all let it go. Everything sold for the most part that they auctioned in this thing, except for the red thong from the movie The Full Monty. It was like the only item that nobody bid on.
Can you blame them? Do you want to be the person that walks over to the table and gets the red thong from The Full Monty?
I mean, I was shocked that it, like the door, in case you're wondering, the door from Titanic, it got like well over $500,000, close to $600,000. Right. And that, so that sold the bullwhip from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, the Spider-Man suit, the axe used in The Shining, where, you know, Jack Nicholson's character is trying to break down the door to get to his wife, played by Shelley Duvall. Remember that scene?
Yeah, here's Johnny. Yeah.
Bill Murray's bowling ball from the movie Kingpin, which wasn't exactly like the world's biggest hit,
but it's a culty movie.
It's a cult classic. So Bill Murray's bowling ball from Kingpin sold for well over $300,000. It is now the most valuable bowling ball in the whole entire world.
Can I brag on us a little bit here while you're going mm-hmm. through these items? I saw the thing about the door with Titanic, and I was surprised at the price also. I think you and I, because we were just kind of getting it together and gaining a little momentum as a couple on radio around that time, I think you and I were among the first people to point out that there could have been a little more room on there. I don't remember anybody in media talking about that before we started on that. I'm not saying that we set a fire and all of a sudden people, I just don't remember anybody else talking about it. It jumped out at me the moment I saw the movie. That I thought, there's something squirrely about that. He could have gotten on.
I'm so codependent, and so are you, that I'm on the door, the Titanic's going down, I'm shivering, and Jack is going, I love you, Rose, and I just want you to live, or whatever the heck he said, I can't remember. I'm like, I'm sliding over, get on the door, Jack. Now we're both gone. We both sink to the bottom of the frozen North Atlantic.
Right,
but there's
right.
no way that I could just watch him sink underwater. Bye-bye. Goodbye.
I know.
See
and
next
you know,
life. The heart will go on. I couldn't do it.
There's a guy in England who's recreating. Remember we were talking about that briefly not long ago? Is recreating the Titanic, and you'll be able to sail on an exact replica or
He's
close
rebuilt.
Enough. Yeah.
He's trying to rebuild it. Yeah.
I think he's putting on bigger doors, though. He's putting
bigger,
on
bigger doors. Yes. He needs bigger doors.
I just can't believe nobody. I mean, nobody put a bid on the red thong from the Full Monty. Come on. Like, you could have snapped it up for a couple hundred bucks. You didn't want to put that in a shadow box in the TV room. Nobody.
Do you think Caramilla knows about the Full Monty? What the movie was? I don't think so either.
That's not partly one.
It's British. Yeah.
Well, she was too little when that came out. Wasn't that out in 1997, maybe 98, something like that, Lamar?
It's on Netflix.
Caramilla wasn't even born. Wasn't even born. Caramilla's idea of, Mom, let's watch something from the olden days, the Gilmore Girls.
Right.
Caramilla's not going to watch the Full Monty. Exactly. And Olivia would be like, as if I would participate in a movie that celebrates the objectification of men who are just trying to earn a living. I hate the patriarchy. Olivia's never going to watch the Full Monty.
We've got morons in the news coming up and more. Stay right there. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
I was looking at, I think, People Magazine online, looking for something to talk about the other day, and they had a little feature on That 70s Show, the cast of That 70s Show. And it was an interesting cast, but the only thing I could think about was Danny Masterson, because I've forgotten about him. And how much time did he get in jail for assaulting three women?
30 years.
30 to life.
Sexually. 30 to life. It was 30 to life?
Yeah.
Wow.
He just celebrated his 48th birthday behind bars.
He won't be eligible for parole for 25 and a half years.
Be in his 70s? At least approaching 80, I guess.
Yeah.
Holy smoke.
Here's what I read. He got kicked out of Scientology after he was found guilty. Uh-huh. But according to what I read just yesterday afternoon, Danny's using his That 70s Show fame to make his prison experience easier. Inmates know him from the show. And insiders in the prison say he's a popular celebrity here in jail. He has people protecting him there. The guards are good to him. And he's putting together his own squad, which he's going to need since he's not leaving for decades. That's what I read just yesterday.
What a weird... Is that right? What a weird
putting
existence.
Putting together a squad.
He just had an appeal. They tried to get it so that he would get appealed. And while they're figuring out whether to give him the appeal to get him out of prison, and the judge said, no, he's no longer married. He's a flight risk.
Yep.
Yeah, because
What's that like? What's that... the Bridge of Sighs, is that in Italy?
Venice.
In Venice. Where people who are going to be executed would walk across this little bridge, a little small bridge, to the place they're going to be executed. And they call it the Bridge of Sighs because there was a sign over the door that you're going to walk into. All ye who pass
abandon
this door.
Abandon hope.
Abandon hope. You're not going to get out of this. And so the person would look back and just sigh that's the last of the outdoors of the world they'll ever see. And I wonder, when he walked through that prison gate, looking at maybe the rest of his life in prison, boy, you talk about a sigh. What a change.
I'll tell you where I got hit in the feels. His daughter with Bijou Phillips is 10 years old. And about a week ago, 8-9 days ago, she visited her dad for the first time in prison, which, so relatable. I mean, this is a child, and that's her father, and whatever we think about him, that's her father. And I can tell you from experience that visiting your dad in prison is not a golden core memory for you. It's just, you know what? It's just, I mean, he deserves everything he's gotten, but how do you not feel for his daughter and now his ex-wife?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. They had a golden life. He had a golden life. I mean, how does he feel? You know that they're trying to find reruns of the 70s show in that prison TV room that you always see on TV. What would you feel knowing I'm going to spend the rest of my life with these guys in here? I'm not going to have a relationship with anyone. My life is, you know, for the most part, over. And there I am on TV with these beautiful people.
Well, you know, that's the whole Icarus flying too close to the sun situation, isn't it? Like, you were on TV with these beautiful people. You had a golden life. You had it all. And you decided that you deserved all of it, including the things that weren't yours to take. And so now you're in prison where you belong. And sucks to be you.
I know. I know. It does suck.
Listen, it's harsh to say, but the charges are forcible rape. It gets no worse than that.
Right.
It's appalling. Yep. Like, I feel nothing.
Exactly.
I feel sorrow for his child, his ex-wife, his siblings, his parents, all of it. I feel sorrow for all of that. But for him, dude.
No, I feel nothing for him that's tender. I'm just saying the despair you must have thinking about, I had a house in the Hollywood Hills. I was married to Bijou Phillips. I had fame. Everywhere I went, somebody gives me a good table at a restaurant. And now I'm making a cheese sandwich on a radiator or whatever it is that they do.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you know the good thing here, Bob, is Danny doesn't have to look too far to figure out how he got where he is. He put himself there. He made
absolutely
the choice.
This is why
a lot of people listening right now are going through absolute hell. And it was just a bad medical diagnosis or an unfortunate happening at their job or whatever. They're going through hell and they didn't put themselves there. Danny, as you put together your squad, good luck to you, buddy. Morons in the News is next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Are you ready?
We never seem to run out.
You're both morons.
Morons in the News with Bob and Sherry.
A Texas man is facing federal charges for allegedly scamming his way onto a Utah flight without a ticket. Listen to his name, Wycliffe Fleurizard. Wycliffe Fleurizard got through security at the Salt Lake City airport with a buddy pass to fly on Southwest Airlines, but the flights were full, leaving him stranded. He is accused of using his cell phone, listen to this, to secretly take
Happy April Fool's Day.
Another passenger's boarding pass, which got Wycliffe Fleurizard on the plane, a Delta flight to Austin. Court papers show he hid in a bathroom until the plane started rolling. When he came out, he was going to find a seat and just sit down and be very quiet. But as it is these days, no seats were left unused. So he's standing around for a little bit. And of course, all of a sudden, here comes the flight attendant. Sir, could you please sit down and buckle in? Yeah, I'm trying to. My name is Wycliffe Fleurizard. I don't know. They stopped the plane. The pilot came out, told him to sit down on the floor. They turned it around, brought it back to the place that it was backing out of, the the gate, and the police were waiting for him and took him away. I cannot believe that's how good an iPhone is with a camera. That's how good it is that you could take a picture of somebody's ticket and get on the plane.
But here's the question. If he had stayed in the bathroom for the whole flight, he might have gotten away with it.
He might have. Yep. Yeah.
If he would have just stayed in the bathroom and then waited till it landed and he could hear passengers around where that restroom getting up and reaching for their bags, he could have just exited the bathroom and stood in line to get off the plane.
One
and
problem.
Nobody,
no one can stay in an airline bathroom for 2 hours. It just humanly cannot be done.
He could have gotten the Guinness Book, a free flight, and a world record if he had managed to be patient.
That's right.
Roseville police officers said that they recently arrested a person after they were found with over $9,000 worth of stolen merchandise from a grocery store, including items such as Spam, instant coffee, alcohol, and more. The police department said that two suspects were involved in the theft, but added it has been unable to locate that second person. Roseville officers were called to a grocery store for a recent theft. Police said two people came into the store, stole merchandise, filled the vehicles with various items, and took off. An officer located the vehicle with the stolen merchandise and pursued the other suspects, but they got away. The suspects then got out of the vehicle, fled on foot, and they reached the end of the court in a residential area, and the officers caught them and detained the driver. Police said a perimeter was set up and a search was conducted for the other suspect, but none were found. Officers recovered over $9,000, how big a car was this, worth of stolen merchandise, including the spam. Now, if they really want to find the one that got away, I think they should start with Roseville's fine dining restaurants. Because keep in mind, spam is actually pork shoulder and ham. So he has fine taste in food. That's all I got to say. He's just like Sherry's husband, Kevin. He loves good food.
Hey, the good news for them is the prison food will be better than what they've been eating.
Sizzled pork. Let's go to today's moron of the day. It's royalty. At the Fripp Island Resort in South Carolina, they have a giant 11-foot alligator named Arthur. And Arthur was traveling through like a large storm drain pipe, if you can picture it. And he snagged a tomato cage onto his head. You know, those wire things that people put around their tomato plants.
Oh, yeah.
Some people, instead of throwing their trash in the trash can, they just throw it in the river or whatever. Anyway, the tomato cage got snagged and stuck on Arthur's head. So he got a new name, King Arthur, because it looked like a crown. The problem was they were concerned that that he could not get free of his head, of his crown, and it seemed like part of it might be wrapped around his neck, so they monitored him for a couple of days, and he made no progress getting his crown off, and things started snagging on the cage, and they became afraid that King Arthur could drown, because alligators, they come up to breathe, and if his cage snagged on something underwater, he would drown. So they got a team from the University of Georgia's Coastal Ecology Lab. They were able to successfully remove King Arthur's crown, and he will continue to decorate the golf course on Fripp Island, just minus his majesty's. Crown. That's today's moron of the day. We'll get that posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. Coming up, things Bob didn't know. Comedian Nate Bargatze. And in honor of April Fool's Day today, some of the greatest pranks ever pulled. It's Bob and Sherry.
Hey, it's Lamar. Thanks so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast. Have you checked out our Oddcast podcast? That's where you can find all the stuff we can't do on the radio, including the Talking Lamar podcast. In this latest episode of Talking Lamar, Slop Jars and Party Lines, I talk about how I grew up in the country in the backwoods of Georgia and how I got to be the people's movie critic. Don't miss it.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
It's a great day in South Carolina. No, seriously. Something strange is happening to the state of South Carolina. The state has a bank account. And over the last 10 years, about $1.8 billion has trickled into the state of South Carolina's bank account. State accountants, private accountants, forensic accountants cannot figure out where the money came from or where it's supposed to go. Whoa. So State Senator Larry Grooms said, it's like going to your bank and the bank president tells you, we have a lot of money in our vault. We just don't know who it belongs to. It's the latest problem with the state's books. You would think they had the Bob and Sherry show doing their accounting. I mean, $1.8 billion, that's more than a little tiny mistake. So last year, the state comptroller general, which is the top accountant in the state, had to resign after his agency started double posting money that led to a $3.5 billion mistake that was all on paper. But the latest issue involves actual money, and they can't figure out where it came from. Now, if you are a South Carolina taxpayer, I don't blame you if you just said, what the? Because...
Yeah, exactly. Fix the roads. Yeah.
Yes.
Gosh, fix the roads. Give the teachers a pay raise. Let's build some hospitals in rural communities. South Carolina, I did a little digging. So the state has a long history of accounting problems going all the way back when the state's first constitution was written in 1776.
It may be
a great day in South Carolina, but it'd be an even better day if somebody sent some calculators to Columbia.
God, that's a lot of money.
$1.8 billion. Now, I love what the governor said. Governor said, that's a lot of money. There's no need to hurry up and try to spend it. Governor, maybe we could figure out where the hell it came from first. What do you think?
Yeah. Start there.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
And now on the Bob and Sherry show, it's another exciting episode of Things Bob Didn't Know.
So I didn't realize the history of a word, the evolution of a word that most of us use at one time or another. Women use it describing girlfriends. Men use it a lot describing guys that they know. Here is the word.
Dudes, listen.
I'm listening, dude.
Dude. Hey, dude. 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 Hey, dude.
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 Dude, I'm just saying.
How far back? Thank you, Max. How far back does the word dude go? According to what I'm reading, the definition of dude was actually on trial in 1884. In Montreal, a man was hauled into court for calling another man a dude in public. This is reported by the New York Times. The defendant was asked by the plaintiff, what is the meaning of the word dude? He said, I consider it an insult, adding a vulgar dressed man who tries to dress well and be a gentleman, but he cannot. During the late 19th century, dude was popularized and its meaning hotly debated. According to the English dictionary, the word's first definition was a man who shows an ostentatious regard for fashion and style, a dandy, a fop. The original story of dude is unclear, but a research project came up with a lot of different concepts and eventually found that dude probably came from Yankee Doodle, like I'm a Yankee Doodle dandy. It was also British slang meaning a foolish dandy. To be a dude at that time, you had to be young, slender, brainless, and imitating what was considered high British culture, but it was not. By the early 1900s, East Coast U.S. guys were known as dudes. As they traveled west, the dude ranch emerged. As defined in a 1942 article, dude ranches were genuine ranches where genuine cowboys punched genuine cattle, and the dudes were not necessary. They were dandified dilettantes. Then, in the 1930s and 40s, young black men in Harlem, young Mexican men, took the idea of a dandy, and they started wearing what was called a zoot suit. This group also redefined dude as a kind of camaraderie. He's one of us. He's a dude. We're cool. We're in this together. By the 1960s, dude was being used in black communities, meaning a really cool guy. Around that time, it was adopted by, guess who? Surfing subcultures in California.
Took on
the connotation, of an easygoing guy. By the 70s, the word dude had gone mainstream. I didn't realize it had been around mainstream that long. a 1973 article in the Times referred to Secretariat, the famous racehorse, as a flashy dude. And then it was used with GIs coming home from the Vietnam War and was used to define any male at all. And then, and Max remembers this, in 1998, The Big Lebowski, starring Jeff Bridges, gave Dude an inflection point. Through an article that year, Dude was already losing luster. Mr. Bridges' affable anti-hero goes by a nickname synonymous with 70s cool, and it became a cliche. You're the dude. You're the dude. In 1990, marked by the beginning of the end of Dude, Time Crossword Puzzle offered a clue. Dude, in modern slang, bro. I still hear dude all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the thing about dude, it depending on the way you say it, it has a different feel. Like, dude, I can't believe you did that on my couch. Or, dude, what a nice car. It changes according to the inflection. But it has been around since the 1800s, and for most of the time, until Black Americans got a hold of it, it was considered kind of a person with not much taste, a person with poor taste, a person with really ugly, flashy taste. And then Black Americans turned it around to mean somebody cool.
Okay, we got a break now.
It's Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
Omaha, 1890. Alan and Dorothy Jones were brutally murdered at their farm. The culprit? A man named Ed Neal, or so they say. Little is known about who he was or where he came from, but the actions of this ruthless killer sparked bloodlust in a town hell-bent on revenge.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
A new month means another chance for a teacher to win a vacation to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach. All you have to do is nominate a teacher at bobandsherry.com to win summer vacation from Visit Florida.
I am walking out of the drugstore in the rain, having gotten my husband some of his meds, and my phone rings, and it's my oldest. And I'm like, hey, girl. And what comes through the phone is a torrent of screaming and yelling and sobbing and wailing. And all I can hear is hurt, blood, hurt, blood. I backed out of the rain under the awning of this store and said, please slow down. What has happened? This is the same daughter who three weeks ago was in a car accident. So you can imagine that, like, my insides just turned to jelly. Like, my knees were weak. Slow down. What do you hurt, blood, what? So I'm, to this day, I'm not really sure exactly how it happened, but Olivia has a rescue cat that I think is a feral bobcat. I don't even think this is a house cat, but anyway, just a rescue cat who somehow in her teeny tiny apartment that she shares with roommates managed to get his tail stuck in the tiny crack between the kitchen counter and the washing machine, because the washing machine is in the kitchen. And when, so he's tugging and yelling. And when Olivia went to lift him to help him, he went nuts and clawed her head and arms and everything. And when she freed him, there was blood everywhere, and his tail, this is what I'm getting in the parking lot in the rain, his tail broke off. Like, the cat's tails don't break off. Like, wait, what? I need an emergency vet. My daughter lives 88 miles from me, so you can imagine, there's nothing I can do. So I'm like, all right, okay, stop, slow down. We're gonna take him, wrap him up in a beach towel or a blanket, put him in his carrier, and I will text you the address of the emergency vet. So the sobs. I don't want to drive in the rain. A little bit phobic because the car accident was in the rain. I'm like, we got to get the cat. If the cat's tail has in fact broken off or fallen off, and there's whose blood? I don't know. Mine, his blood. It was like that scene in Psycho where Norman Bates is going, blood, mother. I'm like reliving this, right? So it's about 15-minute drive to the emergency vet. And so I'm like, all right, hang up. I do not want you on the phone with the injured cat and the blood and the clawed head and the rain and everything else. Please hang up. Let me know when you get to the emergency vet. So 20 minutes or so go by, phone rings again. We're at the emergency vet. The cat has been taken back. And it turns out that he has fractured his tail, which is a thing that cats can do. So they shave the tail down and they have to stitch it, because not only did he fracture his tail, but that's where all the blood was coming from. He cut his tail open. So they're going to stitch the tail, and then they come back out and said to my firstborn, the worst thing anybody could say to my child. And here it is. Are you ready? He's going to be fine, but we are going to have to amputate part of his tail. The word amputate is not a word that anyone should ever say to my firstborn child who has anxiety. So now we're amputating part of the cat's tail. So the roommate is racing across town to meet Olivia at the vet. So she's not there by herself. The cat is in the back getting his tail shaved and part of it amputated and then stitched back up. And I covertly open up my online banking and take a look at my child's bank account. Rent is coming due. And my child does not have rent plus amputation money in this bank account. And I know what's coming. So I said, honey, of course I'm going to find out how much this is going to be. And I will help you pay for this. I'll get you a credit card number.
Wow.
So of course. And if you'd like to know the amount, I'm happy to tell you. So, it was $700. So, everybody goes home. Cat's got pain medication. Cat's got a cone. Everything's fine. They go to give the cat the antibiotics. The cat goes out of its entire small mind, tears its cone off, slams its injured tail into like the coffee table. And now they're back at the emergency vet because the stitches have opened up. So we're back at the emergency vet just a few hours later. And my phone is blowing up. I have not even yet told Kevin any of this because it's at the point now where I literally do not have one single day where something chaotic and unhinged doesn't happen. And I'm tired of the look on his face when I tell him, oh, you're not going to believe this. Because he has this look on his face. And here's what the look is. The look is, why didn't I just go live on that boat in Key West by myself? So here's the good news. Cat is fine. Cat is going to be fine. My bank account will recover. And we're just hoping to get through today without another tail injury. The cat is now wearing not one, but two cones to keep it from gnawing its stitches out. Happy Monday, everyone. Happy April Fool's Day. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Let's kick off your April Fool's Monday with Nate Bargatze.
Excited to be here. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. And some people. And we were, I'm married, and we were, me and my wife were in Nashville last summer, and we went out on the lake with some of our friends, and we were floating around in the water, and there was a guy in a boat, like right next to us, and my wife was like, oh, that's my ex-boyfriend in that boat. I didn't know who he was. She didn't have to say anything at all. She was just basically like, are you having fun? Because I would like to put a stop to that and make you stare at this guy the rest of the day. So I'm staring at him, and then I look at her and she's staring at him, and I feel like she's staring at him to see what her life would be like if she didn't marry me. So I started staring at him because I was like, I'm gonna see what my life would be like if I didn't marry her, you know? We were both putting so much pressure on this guy. And we have a daughter. We have a 3-year-old daughter. And We took her to Disney World, and I made the mistake of, like, telling my friends. They were just like, I don't know why you're taking her, you know, just wasting money. She's not going to remember it. And it's like, it's exciting. Like, she believes in Minnie Mouse. Like, it's fun to see her get excited. Like, what should I do? Should I just lock her in a closet and be like, do you remember yesterday? No? Well, until you start remembering things, I'm not going to waste any of my money on you, you know? I love coming here to Montreal. I've been here a few times. Last time I was here, I had a bit of a too much of a good time. Is that how you should say it? I was staying here at the hotel, got super drunk, and locked myself out of my hotel room completely naked. And I remember getting all the way out, and then I hear the door shut, which is the most sobering noise I've ever heard in my entire life. So I'm standing there, I'm like, what are you gonna do? And I was like on the 7th floor, and I was like, oh, there's a window. I'll just jump out of that, you know? That's easier than talking to my wife about this. But then I look to the left, and there was a cleaning lady, and she's just staring at me. And I'm just like, what are you doing here? And you know why she's there? Because it's like 11 a.m. That's why she's there. That's how far in the day it was. And I looked at her just like, you know, what are you going to do? Like, this happens to the best of us, right? And she was like, doesn't. It's never happened before. And I don't even have, like, the worst part, I don't have, like, a body either that's like, you're welcome. You know what I mean? Like... Like, I did her a favor. I was like, come on, it's your lucky day, all right? Take it in. I do nothing to try to lose weight. I'm just kind of riding it out, seeing what... Here's where we're at right now. What I've started doing, though, is I tell people I used to weigh 300 pounds because... Yeah. I'm a pretty dumb guy. Just, I don't think it's pretty obvious. And... I've thought about, like, time travel. Like, if I went back in time, knowing everything I know now, I don't think I would make a difference. I don't think you would even hear about it. If I went back to the 20s and I, like, saw some guy on, like, an old phone... I'd be like, hey, eventually they have phones you just carry in your pocket. And he'd be like, yeah, how do they do it? It's like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how they're doing it. It's like a satellite or something. And they'd be like, what's a satellite? Well, you shouldn't have even brought that up then. It's like a round metal dish or something that's got to go pretty high in the air. I honestly don't think I could prove I'm from the future. I mean, they would want some proof, you know? Who's the next president? Oh, boy. Thank you guys so much.
That is Nate Bargatze, and we'll get that posted up at BOBANDSHERI.com. You just go ahead, click that menu tab, look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. And while you're there, why not subscribe to the Bob and Sherry newsletter? We just put out an issue last week, and we never spam you. It's got content in it and contests and pictures and all sorts of cool stuff. You can do that at BobandSherry.com, too. This is Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
A school bus driver in Louisiana is being called a hero because she jumped into action and she helped to save 9 children that was on her school bus when it caught fire. Kia Rezeeves, who's a bus driver for Community Academies in New Orleans, was on her way to her 5th bus stop, and she was going on a regular route. Everything is going smooth, but she realized something was wrong with the school bus, and she pulled over to see what was going on, and a person ran up to her and said, hey, there's flames coming out from under the school bus. She said, well, I put my motherhood on. I have a child, so I thought, I'm going to treat these kids like they were my kids. She got them all together. They aged from like 8 to 12, and they were crying and everything. And so she got them off of the bus, and a security camera caught all of this. As she gets everybody off the bus and gets them over to the side, it erupted in flames. The front of the school bus went up in flames. And
oh, no.
She said, you know, the kids was crying and running. She said, I had to get them together, make sure they were straight and everything was going good. She said, you know, we could have lost our lives. That's what I've been thinking a lot. She said, every time I look at these pictures and the video, I go, wow, my seat was the first thing that caught on fire. But everybody's safe, and she's good to go, and she did what she needed
good
to do.
Good for her.
Yeah.
So boy, really they cool. got the right Very person cool. with that job yeah. there.
This is Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to CleanOrigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to CleanOrigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's CleanOrigin.com, code RADIO10.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
It's Talk Back time. You can call the show 844-52-SHERRY. That's 844-52-SHERI. Or if you have our app, it's free in Google Play and the Apple Store. It's a really good app because you can do everything with it. You can listen to the show every day and all of our podcasts, all of them, including Talking Lamar and True Words Stuff. And you can enter contests, and you can even tap the little microphone in the bottom center of the screen and talk, and the app will send your message flying through the air.
Hey, Bob and Sherry, this is Nancy, a longtime listener. I just listened to you all talking about the random things that people hate, and I had to call. Mine is gum chewing. I cannot stand it. I will not do it. If I hear it, it makes my skin crawl. And I'm that way. Why? Because of my mother. My mother has always been one who loves to chew gum. She chews like a cow, loudly. The gum chews her. This is how bad it is. On my wedding day, she came down right before she and my dad were to be seated, came down to see me one last time. She had a big old wad of gum in her mouth, chewing like crazy. I looked right at her and I said, Mom, you got to spit the gum out. She got all defensive. Of course I'll get rid of it. Okay. Fast forward about a month later, we get our video back. My husband and I are watching it. The parents are seated, and the cameraman pans across the front rows. And there's my mother, chewing like Bessie. I almost lost my mind. I'm screaming at the TV. It's a good thing my mom wasn't in the room. And I'll tell you this. I was married 30 years ago. I still haven't let it go. Love your show.
Yeah, she don't feel like somebody would let something go.
I know what she's talking about, though. I know what she's talking about. I remember with a previous marriage, it was in a great big church, and it was the Presbyterian church in this town. My ex-in-laws were very good friends with the minister, and we're doing the rehearsal in the afternoon the day before, and my father's going to be my best man. I just decided to do that. So he goes through the whole thing, and we don't need him anymore at the moment. I'm talking to the minister, and I look up, and in the vestibule, I see my father. So he's not outside of the church. He's technically still inside the church. It's the area you come into the church, you know, say hello to people, then go into the sanctuary. I can see him. Everybody is facing me with their back to my father, and I watch him take a cigarette out. And all I can think is, no, don't. None of these people smoke at all, let alone inside a church. Don't do it. And he lit it up and did a big pull, and I could see the smoke just billowing in the air. And then I'm talking. What a beautiful day it's going to be tomorrow for the ceremony. I'm so thrilled. I don't know what people were thinking. Grooms don't talk like that. They don't say anything usually. And I am just a little old chatterbox up there to have all the eyeballs on me. And Benson, thank God, I don't think anybody saw him.
Except for you.
Except for me.
We have another message.
Hi, my name is Jackie. I'm calling from Alaska. You were speaking on Friday about the guy who hadn't worn shoes in 3 years and what you would do if he came to your house. Well, up here, as a matter of course, we take our shoes off when we enter our own homes and others as well. So if he came to my house, he could come in and avail himself of a basket full of flipper socks that I keep by the front door. You know, those things with the grippy rubbery thingies on the bottom. And he could use those while he was in my house. And then after he left, I would burn them. Just saying. Y'all have a great day. Love your show. Bye.
She caught me with the burn thing there.
Yeah, she's people in Alaska do not play. She is hardcore serious. But you can see why, like, if you live in Alaska, you're not going to track like snowy, muddy boots into somebody's
mud,
house. You could see how that would be like a really common thing. The thing, Bob, with you is you have to admit that you don't want to put on a pair of grippy slipper socks that are in a basket at somebody else's house, even though they were washed and dried and all of that. You know that you do not want to do that.
It's all I could think about when she was talking. How do I know that the slipper socks were actually washed? Whose feet were in them before me? You are exactly right. I'll give it up to you. That's
you
all I could
do. Not
think
want
about.
To do that. Yeah. Bob would
but
rather.
I would do it.
He'll say to Mary, I'm just going to wait in the car. Maybe like you could sneak me out something to eat. I am not putting on another man's grippy slipper socks. I'm not doing it. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
We have a couple more messages, Bob. And this guy is really speaking directly to you.
Okay.
You guys were talking about some guy revving up his sports car as he drove by, and I just wanted to chime in and say I drive a motorcycle with loud exhaust, and I do it at every stoplight. I do it because I love to hear the sound of it, but now I kind of do it when the light turns green. This way people will put their phones down and look up and drive. But yeah, I rev my motorcycle up all the time because I love the sound of it. I don't need the attention. I just love the sound.
Okay, I get that. Well, the first of all, let me just say that whole thing about doing a public service to get people to put their phones down. I'm not buying that. But I will buy you 1,000% for being honest that it's just kind of a kick. I've never done it. I don't have a motorcycle. It's kind of a kick to rev the thing up. It's like you're in a movie and off you go. So I understand that. And I also understand that a lot of people who ride motorcycles have loud Harleys have a certain sound. They do not sound like a BMW motorcycle. And I think some of them have that loud sound so that people on highways are aware that they're there. Because I think some folks are almost dismissive of motorcycles when they pull up. You know, it's like a gnat, get away from me. Whereas we should respect and be very careful around motorcycles.
Why are you so quick, though, to discount his, I want people to put their phones down, when you yourself drive in the left lane in order to control speed on the interstate? Like, this is your brother in arms right here. This is your guy.
I don't drive. This has haunted me. One little comment, like 75 years ago, and it has haunted it. Now everyone thinks that I'm, you know, Mr. Magoo driving in the left-hand lane going 45 miles an hour. I don't do that.
These comments that trouble you are comments that are coming from your actual mouth and face. Like, you're the one who says these things.
It should have an expiration date. An expiration date, okay? Nobody's perfect. One time I saw a maniac and I pulled into the passing lane and then just did the speed limit. One time, Sherry Lynch, and you've been haunting me with this.
Long time listeners are looking at the speaker right now and shaking their heads and going, oh no, chit-chat. This was a life philosophy that you saddled up and rode. Yeah, this was not a one-time thing. Your brother here is worried about distracted driving and you just completely discounted that.
How is his revving going to make somebody put down their phone? People won't put down their phone.
He says he watches them. Yeah, he watches them jump and put their phones down. Yeah, we have another one. We have another one.
Hey, everybody. This is Amanda from Upstate. And when you're asking for random specific things that we hate, that's my love language. the top of the list for me is green bell peppers. Everything about them offends me. The color, and green is my favorite color, but the color of green bell peppers is just,
It's not natural. It's not normal. It's just this weird, awful, awful green. The taste, they're not sweet enough. They're not quite bitter enough. They're just in between everything. And I love, love, love red, yellow, and orange peppers, and I could eat those every day. But green peppers are just a waste of energy in terms of growing, preparing to eat, and the chewing. It's just a waste of everything. And if I go to someone's house and they're serving them in a dish, oh my God, I'm so disappointed. I'll get through it, but oh, they're terrible, terrible, terrible. All right. Love you guys. Thank you. Bye.
She should get on a motorcycle, pull up next to somebody who's on their phone, and throw green peppers at them. I kind of agree. I kind of agree with her that if I have the choice, I'd rather have the red pepper any day. Now, the red pepper costs about $8 each these days.
But which is wild. Sweeter. Because the red pepper.
I can't get over the fact.
Well, the red pepper is just the ripe version of the green pepper. So how is it they're able to jack the price so much?
No, it's not.
It is.
It's the red pepper.
Oh, it is. No.
Wait, no. My question is,
if you leave a green pepper long enough, they turn red. I don't know if you knew that.
Are you sure about that?
I'm going to have to check on this.
I'm going to have to check on it,
What
too.
About the yellow All pepper? Right. What does it do?
Let's get
the I-team involved. Let's get the Bob and Sherry I-team involved.
The orange one. Yeah. The green one is the green one because it's the green one. It's a different product, I think. Don't you agree, Lamar?
I agree.
All right. There it is. We'll look into it. We'll figure it out. And right now, there's 4,000 people that are dialing. It's Bob and Sherry. Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
Thought it would be fun on April Fool's Day to take a look at some of the greatest pranks ever pulled. Some of these you knew about and you've just forgotten because there's so many crazy things happening every single minute in this world. Let's go to Australia, all the way back on April Fool's Day in 1978, when people in Sydney, Australia woke up to find an enormous, I mean gigantic iceberg floating in Sydney Harbor. Now, days before the prank, the guy who pulled it was in, he was an electronics, like a tech entrepreneur, and his name was Dick Smith. And he announced that he had captured an iceberg in Antarctica and was towing it and was intending to bring it back to Australia to be studied. And so on April 1, 78, people woke up to find the iceberg. The Australian Navy even reached out to this guy and said, do you need any help? You know, is there anything that we can do? And then it began to rain. And that's when Dick Smith's prank was revealed. The iceberg was a barge that was covered in giant sheets of white plastic and firefighting foam. But that was a good prank on the entire city of Sydney,
that's a really
Australia.
Good one.
That was good, yeah.
I can't believe the Navy got snookered.
Let's jump to 1996 when Taco Bell decided to really up their game with corporate sponsorship. On April 1st, 1996, Taco Bell took out full-page ads in the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and three other of the world's biggest newspapers, the country's biggest newspapers, and announced that in an effort to help resolve the national debt, Taco Bell had purchased the Liberty Bell. The Liberty Bell would remain available to the public, but would now be splitting its time between Philly and Taco Bell's headquarters in Irvine, California. Well, people did not love this. People began calling their senators. They began calling the National Park Service. How dare this government sell the Liberty Bell to Taco Bell? People were outraged. Taco Bell then had to issue a press release saying, okay, we made it up. Happy April Fool's Day. And then to get people off their back, because people were like, I will never eat Taco Bell again. Taco Bell gave $50,000 to the Park Service to help the Liberty Bell with maintenance and upkeep. Do you remember that one? That one was a really good one, especially in Philly.
I do vaguely remember it, and it struck me as, number one, how could you be so taken in because it's called Taco Bell. So obviously they're going to be doing something. And I was wondering if Taco Bell, at least for a while, obviously it didn't hurt them, just pissed off so many people that it would have affected their business.
And I think the people, because I remember this, Bob, and I think the people that they pissed off have never put a piece of Taco Bell food in their mouths ever.
Probably.
Listen,
you're right.
There's an expiration date on outrage. They're outraged about it today. They forget about it a week from now. You know?
Yeah.
That's true.
They go, oh, yeah. New to be outraged about.
It's so true. Yeah.
Because I remember, like, the local news in Philly, you know, they did that, those man-on-the-street interviews. I mean, they talked to a couple of people that could not find a Taco Bell with a map in two hands. Like, people that had never eaten a Taco Bell and never would eat a Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Let's go to what students in MIT did. It took them, when I tell you it took them years to pull this prank off, it was a masterpiece. They finally yanked it out in 2012. It took hackers, student hackers at MIT, 4 years of planning, 2 months of working around the clock to create the ultimate April Fool's hack. They turned the 295-foot tall green building on MIT's campus into a Tetris game. And they did it through this. It's so complicated. Like, I don't even, it's MIT students, who even knows? Wirelessly controlled LED lights. They turned 153 of the building's windows into those colored blocks that move and fall down. And they were all controlled by players at a podium. And when it got dark that night, they unleashed their April Fool's Day hack and they turned the entire building into one giant game of Tetris. Isn't that fantastic? And to close, finally, in 1992, NPR showed they had a sense of humor when they announced that Richard Nixon had decided he was running for the Republican nomination in 1992. And because it was NPR doing it, people were outraged because nobody thought NPR would pull a prank like that.
Right.
Happy April Fool's Day. Everybody, we'll get this posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
Okay, so in honor of April Fool's Day, we're talking about some of the greatest hacks that have ever been pulled. So back in 1962, there was only one television network in the entire country of Sweden. And they broadcast in black and white. And so they told the people of Sweden, now there's only one television network, so everybody's watching. They told the people of Sweden that it was possible for them to be able to see television in color. They brought in a technical expert named Kjell Stensen, who explained to viewers, and the language he used, it was crazy complicated. If you just took a simple pair of nylon stockings and stretched it over your television set, the light would filter in such a way that it would trick the eye into seeing it in color. And to best get the results, this expert, Stensen, said, you need to move your heads from side to side as you watch. And it's amazing. You'll just be, your mind will be blown. And so thousands and thousands and thousands of innocent, hardworking Swedes put a pair of pantyhose over their television and cranked their heads back and forth. Do you see it? I don't see it. Do you see it? I don't see it.
Jerking people around.
But because they're, you know, they're Swedish and they're like, oh, Sven is having a laugh. Oh, it wasn't like nobody rioted in the streets, but apparently they have photos of people like sitting with pantyhose pulled over their televisions, cranking their heads back and forth. It's so good. It's not as diabolical as NPR announcing the return of Richard Nixon. And I have to tell you one more thing about that. When NPR said that Nixon was coming back to run for the Republican nomination, they got a comedian, a voice impersonator named Rich Little, to record in Nixon's voice this interview for NPR. I mean, they went all in. That could not happen today. That could not happen today. They would be, people would come to NPR headquarters in Washington and burn them down. We have lost so much of our sense of humor. And also, the internet's made us believe that anything and everything is possible except for the truth. So this is no time for big April Fool's Day pranks. Mm-mm. It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Use the Talk Back feature.
Talk Back feature
on the free Bob and Sherry app and leave us a message.
I'm going to take y'all behind the scenes a little bit to the factory that is the Bob and Sherry Enterprise. Everyone here, except for Lamar, owes Lamar an apology because something has been happening and none of us realized it was happening. And Lamar didn't know that it wasn't supposed to be that way. And so for a good long while now, let's see, Lamar, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, 7 months. This has been going on for 7 months. And what Lamar has been a trooper and he's never complained, even though Max doesn't yell at anybody, but Max will be like, Lamar, you're drifting, or Lamar, you're overmodulating. And Lamar would be like, okay, I'm going to try not to do that. But the problem is that for the last 7 months, unbeknownst to us, Lamar has not been able to hear himself and didn't realize that that's a problem. Thank you, Bob. That's the right response. What? So every time Max would say, Lamar, you're drifting. Can't you hear it? Lamar would be like, I'm going to do better, buddy. And I know Lamar was thinking, what are you even talking about? Lamar, you're overmodulating. Can't you hear that? Lamar's like, I just sound like me to me. Because Lamar could not hear himself, Bob, for 7 months.
I know what that's like. So in other words, you would hear us in your headphones, but you'd have to hear your own voice in the room that you're in and not in the headphones. Is that right? Yeah. Oh, I've had to do that because of technical problems now and then. That's been going on for 7 months, my friend.
Yeah. I didn't know any different.
Has it been fixed?
Oh, wait. And you wouldn't believe, Bob, you wouldn't believe. Like, Tony would be like, do we need to get Lamar a new microphone? You know, it's weird. He drifts, he overmodulates. Our engineer, Jack, at one of our stations, we're like, what are we getting? How can we help Lamar? And so Max is like, I'm going to help Lamar. And he would tell Lamar to do certain things. But of course, that's like putting someone in a dark room with no windows, turning off all the lights, and then yelling at them because they can't find stuff.
So... a couple of weeks ago, I said to Sherry, I said, you know, I don't think he can hear himself. And this seemed like, so we said to him, can you hear yourself? And he's going, well, I can hear that I'm talking. He didn't know what I meant. So he thumped the microphone like, and he said, I can't hear that. And I went, you're not hearing yourself. You can hear us, but you're not hearing yourself. Therefore, you wouldn't know if you were overmodulating or off mic. Because, hey, you've been running a beer warehouse for the last 25 years.
Folks, and
I'm guilty of moving.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of getting excited and moving and jumping around and whatever. And so I wrote it off to that. Got to be still.
So, for 7 months, he's been getting yelled at by Max and trying desperately not to move his head for 7 months.
Listen, so don't feel badly. I haven't listened to my own self in years, you know, and I'm still here, right?
You're doing fine. Yeah.
I'm doing fine.
So I order a piece of equipment and have it shipped to Lamar. And it comes without any of the cables that he needs to connect it. So he goes to Lamar, you pick it up here. You went to the guitar store.
Yeah, it comes without anything. And the instruction sheet is not made for somebody that doesn't realize they wasn't hearing themselves. The instruction sheet is for somebody that is a technician in this business. It doesn't have a diagram of telling you where to how to hook anything up or whatever. So this has to hook to another piece of equipment that I've got. So I go on Google and I search How do you hook this one to this one? In the whole internet, it's like the people that have this one don't even know the people that have this other one exist. They don't ever put them together. It's like, what the heck? So we figured out what kind of cable we needed. So I take off to the guitar store and I get the cable and I come back and I hook it up. And it was working for like a day or so over a weekend. And I'm like, okay, I got this. And so then when I go to get back on the first of the week with Max, it's like crazy. And all of a sudden I still can't hear myself again. So the engineer guy that does our stuff, I get him on the phone and I'm telling him exactly what I'm doing. And he said, well, what about this other cable, the XLR cable? And I said, well, I've only got one. He says, well, you got to have another one. That's what those two holes are. It goes in the hole of that one into the hole of this one. And I said, well, nobody didn't say that. So I took off to the guitar store again. I come back and magically, if you do have the right amount of cables, if you need two cables and you've only got one, you're not getting anywhere. But when I put the second cable in and I reached up and I said, oh my gosh, it's a whole nother world. It's like somebody that can't see. And then they put glasses on and all of a sudden those stick figures are people, you know? So
You know what I'm thinking here, Sherry? I'm thinking the Bob and Sherry show needs to reexamine their training program for new employees.
The employee manual is something we might want to distribute.
Yeah, right.
Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
This just seems like the perfect April Fool's Day kind of conversation to have, because we just discovered, as we were talking about, if you're with us a few minutes ago, after 7 months, that all this time, Lamar has been unable to hear himself. And you may think, well, why does that matter? But when you do this kind of job, whether it's radio or a podcast, you have to be able to hear your own voice along with everybody else's so that you can check to make sure that you're staying on mic and that you're not like pinning the meter and over-modulating and drifting and all of that. And Lamar, you know, I just want to say round of applause, buddy, because you've been stumbling around blind for nearly a year and doing a hell of a job. You really have.
Well, I can't blame y'all 100% because I've been around for 30 years. Okay. But and y'all just assume, you know, but most of those 30 years was in my office at Budweiser at a desk. And so it's a completely different thing. I didn't have a complete studio hooked up. I just had a microphone sitting there. And if you stop and think about it, probably 5 months before I left Budweiser, Max was telling me, he says, you just don't sound right. You just don't sound right. And every once in a while, I would have to take the microphone and pack it up. And like if we were camping or something, I would take it with me where I could do something from wherever I'm at or from home, whatever. And so I'd hook it back up. And Max said, it's like you're not talking into the microphone. And I'm talking, you know, I'm showing him whatever. This goes on. We had that conversation for a few weeks, didn't we, Max?
Weeks, yeah.
Yeah, weeks. And finally, one day, Max said, what does it say on the front of the microphone? And I pull it up, and it's on the stand. And I said, it don't say anything. And he said, okay, turn it around. And I said, oh, it says so-and-so. He goes, you've got the mic backwards. You're talking into the back of the mic.
Wow.
Hey, Lamar, there goes that job at the UN as an interpreter.
Hey, you know, we wonder why we haven't won that Marconi Award. Oh, I think we're fine.
Wait. You know, in Lamar's defense, Bob and I spent roughly half our career on a radio station that installed its own transmitter upside down and was beaming into the earth. The tower.
That's a true story. I was about to say that because I still am not over that whoever was running the transmitter at that station, which was a tough station to get ratings on, was aiming the signal right into hell, which actually the program director at that time probably thought that's where we belonged with our broadcast.
Well, he had so many friends there, he would know. Right. Yeah, so Lamar, you cannot be faulted. And I have to say, there's nothing scarier than starting a new job and having to learn all the new things. Just because you knew what you were doing is not the same thing as knowing all the systems and rules and regs. It took me forever to learn the jargon for this business. I didn't understand what anybody was talking about ever. Didn't know which button to push to turn my mic on and off. And of course, everyone just takes for granted that you know what they know and nobody tells you anything. And I don't know why, Bob, it never occurred to us to say, hey, can you hear yourself? Because it's so basic.
I know, and I know what that feeling is. Lamar, if you ever lose this gig, and I hope you don't, if you ever and you become a security guard, don't point the gun at yourself if somebody is running out of the building.
Yeah, it is true. But here's the deal, though. I'm a little worried, Sherry. I know that this is a behind the scenes, but all this is confirming to all the people listening that we really are goofy and we really don't know what the hell we're doing.
So it's a good thing. Yeah, it's a good thing.
Maybe we should have kept the curtain down.
They're just like us.
We should have kept the curtain down.
It is, you know, what's hysterical is all of that is true and we're still ahead of a lot of the places we've been, okay? In terms of having this stuff figured out. So everyone, please welcome Lamar to the land where he can hear what he's saying.
I can hear. It's a miracle. I can hear.
This is Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Let's go to Tiffany, whose addiction wakes her up in the middle of the night. Hi, Tiffany.
Hey, Tiffany.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So you're addicted to sugar, huh?
I am.
Example.
My husband tells me I'm the only person he knows that wakes up in the middle of the night for food and candy. And like last night, I woke up at midnight for a Nutty Bar and a glass of milk and then just went right back to bed.
I can't even imagine this.
I wake up for Almond Joys. I have at least probably about a pack of Twizzlers a day, like the big, just flavorful rainbow Twizzlers. I love those. I like white chocolate, the peanut butter cups. I'm addicted to those.
I can't believe you get up in the middle of the night and eat candy.
I do. Almond Joys, too. I love waking up.
Is there ever any confusion when your husband in the middle of the night is told that you want a Nutty Bar?
No. No, he's usually sleeping. He doesn't even know I wake up.
He doesn't even know? Okay.
No, he'll wake up and he'll, where did everything go? And I'm just like, I was hungry or I was craving it. And just, I came home the other day and demolished all of my children's mini muffins that had strawberry frosting all over them.
And you're tiny, aren't you?
I am.
And happy, another happy
Yeah,
one.
Tiny and happy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love sugar. I think when I go to Starbucks, I always order, right now I'm in love with the mocha cookie crumble, and it's probably not the healthiest of anything to get, let alone, but it's so good.
How much is that? About $7?
I don't even know. No, I think it's like maybe four something.
It's worth, look how happy it
makes
her.
I know, she's very happy.
Wow, so you never,
I love it.
Do you just, and I just want to imagine what this is like, because I think if there's a heaven, this is part of it. Okay, so Tiffany, if you feel like eating something, you just eat it.
All the time.
And you never like have that internal debate with yourself about whether or not it's worth it or you're going to regret it, or you just, if it's in front of you and you feel like having it, you eat it.
I indulge. Chocolate peanut butter ice cream is my favorite.
And you know, it is like having, by the way, they have a Starbucks there now.
Tiffany, in my whole life, I have never lived one day like you're describing you do every day.
Oh, I'm at the point where if I don't eat sugar, my hands start to shake and my body shakes. It's like my body tells me I need sugar in my.
That's crazy. Because it's a drug that you're putting in your body. It's kind of like a drug, don't you think?
Of all of the things you eat, and it's a breathtaking list. What is the single nastiest? Do you think?
That I eat in my body.
That's sugary. Yeah, the single nastiest sugar thing that you put down.
Oh man, everything I eat, I turn bad. I mean, I can't even everything healthy. If I eat apples, I like douse them in cinnamon sugar. if I eat a bowl of strawberries, I love it in sugar water. Like I just let them soak in sugar water.
It's like, honest to God, girl, it's like you're 11 or 12 years old.
everything. Waffles, they have to have a ton of sugar, like even bread. I toast bread and I put some butter on it and just douse it in sugar.
Are you someone who could just snack on sugar cubes?
Probably. I don't know. I just love sugar.
Have you ever in your life, well, probably, yeah. You probably went through a phase where you had the metabolism where you could be like Tiffany.
I did until I was 25, and then it changed. But I was bad for it because the old man owned the bar. I could go behind the bar and pull a Coke anytime I wanted to. My mother used to cut a grapefruit in half, and then she would take the grapefruit, and she would dip the grapefruit.
And kind of grind it in the sugar a little bit?
Grind it. So there was a covering of sugar on the grapefruit, and that's what I would have in the morning.
Well, I'll be 25 in August, and I'm hoping that my metabolism does not stop because...
It may not. I mean, mine did. All of a sudden, I became a big boy. So you better watch out.
Well, Tiffany, the important thing is that you've enjoyed, forever, however much longer it lasts, you've enjoyed every minute of it.
Oh, yes, and it's going to be hard to stop once it starts catching up to me.
What did you have for breakfast today? I'm just curious. What was breakfast today?
Breakfast, I had a cup of coffee, and I had a Nutty Bar at midnight, and then I woke up and had a cake, a zebra cake.
A Little Debbie zebra cake. Those are good, huh? They're awesome. Good looking, yeah.
When did you have the zebra cake for breakfast this morning?
Well, I've been up probably since 6 o'clock, and usually I eat something sweet in the mornings every time I wake up. Like, I'm not a big breakfast, like, eggs and bacon person. I'm more of a have to have something sugary to start my day off.
So you've had the Nutty Bar and the Little Debbie zebra cake. Okay, so it's probably getting close to snack time for you. It's probably time for one of those mocha thingies.
And good for you, because those eggs are crap. You know, they really are. What good are they?
Well, I mean, God, you know where they come from? What part of the chicken they come from?
Exactly.
That's not where Little Debbie's shooting them out.
That's right.
Tiffany.
Oh, dear. That was
you have an awesome day.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
I'm fixing to tell you about a life-changing selfie. Years ago, Megan Troutwine was in New York City. And while she was in Midtown, she went to Rockefeller Center. And so she stopped to take a selfie next to the reflecting pool and the fountains. And she said, I looked at the picture and my eyelid was drooping. She said, I thought it was odd. So when I returned home, I mentioned it to my neurologist. The doctor ordered an MRI, and on her way home from the scan, she got a call. They had found a benign mass inside her brain. It was growing at an aggressive rate. Oh. I found out it had been meningioma and is a very common form of brain cancer. And her first surgery removed the tumor, and a follow-up procedure revealed another tumor. Doctors informed her that tumor would continue to grow slowly and would have to be monitored for the rest of her life. Doctors also discovered she carries the PTEN gene mutation, putting her at greater risk for developing other cancers. But since 2017, when she underwent the craniotomy, she's been diagnosed with and treated for both breast cancer and uterine cancer. Throughout her tough treatments, though, she says she's been fortunate enough to meet a lot of great people and a lot of inspiring people. And she said, cancer was not my first choice, but I wouldn't trade it where I am now because I wouldn't have been the same had I not gone through all of this. And she said, you know, she's able to help people to understand this because of she's been through the situation. She knows what people are going through in the most difficult times of their lives. And she says, I think I can be a vessel to help that. Which is a pretty inspiring story. But that selfie, she had enough. She saw it, and she, you know, that's very cool. The first time I think a selfie has been life-saving. Most of the time, selfies are like, find out.
This is the only important selfie that has ever been taken.
Yes. Well, here's the deal. Medical selfies don't use duck lips, okay? Don't do duck lips if you're doing a medical selfie. Yeah, then you can tell what's going on.
That's right.
This is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review. And maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.